Just press record.
Just hit the button.
Welcome to another episode of the Bigger Brothers Podcast. We do need a jingle though.
Yeah.
So if there's any budding musicians out there and they want to make us a jingle, that would be right nice.
Well, I've already got someone in mind. One of my clients, David, is a classical pianist. And he's a very, very good classical pianist. So maybe I could have a...
Just do a little jingle.
That's fair enough.
But I promise I've explained where the yo came from and the panda Buddha came from in my name. But basically all my friends know me as Buddha, so if you want to be my friend you can call me Buddha if you like. But anyway, the Buddha came from, I used to go skating at a skate park in Stockport, and there was this little lad that I used to skate with quite a bit. And one time I went with a bald head, I shaved my head. And he just started calling me Buddha. But, oh my god, my friend's a Buddha, my friend's Buddha. And then I was doing some trick. I think I was dropping in off of some box into the ramp or something. And there was a bunch of kids sat on the vert ramp. And they like, started cheering me on, going, go on, kid. And then this kid who just decided to start calling me Buddha that day just told everyone that my name was Buddha. So I've been Buddha ever since. And the yo part, well, I was struggling because I started off, when I was just doing kettlebells, I decided to go with the handle of Kettle Buddha for Instagram and stuff, but then it got a bit too limited because I started messing around with clubs and maces too much, and I was into everything more than just kettlebells. So I was like saying to my mate who's doing his, he has a YouTube channel all about Harley Davidsons and motorbikes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, what should I do? I want to go for something a bit generic. I'm thinking about unconventional Buddha, but unconventional seems a bit long. He's like, just go yo. You know, it just needs to be generic for YouTube. Just yo, you say yo all the time. I do, but not like, not really a thing, but it is now. Now I'm yo Buddha.
No.
But now I regret it because I'm like, I should have gone with barbarian Buddha. So maybe I'll change it to that in the future. But for now, I'm yo. I'm yo Buddha, man.
For now, yo. So you yo. Can go. Now he's introducing you, you can be his friend. So when you see him, you go, yo Buddha.
Yeah, you can do that.
There you go. So, tell you what, while we're going about me, as I'll insight into why it's bigger picture fitness and why it's bigger picture. So when I did my PT course, then we just the latter parts of my course, and everyone's going, oh, set up their Instagram now, and they're going, first name, last name, PT. Everyone around the table, first name, last name, PT. Now, nothing wrong with that. John Smith, PT. Nothing wrong with that. But I'll probably say 80%, 85% of the PT industry have got PT at the end of the name so far. I just wanted to do something different. And for me, it was like, what is it when I was trying to lose weight and what was I aiming for? And all of a sudden, it just went, bing, the bigger picture. It's all you strive for. You strive for the bigger picture. And I was like, right, bigger picture fitness. And honestly, I was buzzing with my little self going, oh, yes, bigger picture fitness. And the first thing I did was like, please nobody else have it. Please nobody else have it. So I was like, before I started making my Instagram account, I was like making sure no one else had bigger picture fitness. And no, they didn't. I was like, have I just brought that idea up of bigger picture fitness? Yeah, so it's all about the bigger picture. That's what I tell. So when people are trying to do something very, very quickly, or they want a quick result, and I'm like, nah, mate, don't need to be cliche, or I'm going to stay a pun on it, but yeah, it's all about the bigger picture. So that's where mine come from. But my friends, so yeah, you guys, like Paulie Buddha, not a lot of my friends call me Bumps. So I'm very well known as Bumps.
Yeah, but you should explain where that comes from, because that could have two different meanings.
Yeah, could have two different meanings. It started from when I was younger. Our last name was Humphreys. Growing up as a fat kid, you get called all sorts of names, but people were like, yes, it's Bumfries.
Yeah.
No.
Bumfries.
Don't call me Bumfries. Oh, wouldn't you ever laugh? Don't fucking call me Bumfries. I was a fat kid, but I was an angry fat kid. So.
Yeah, I understand when people call me Bumfries. It never stuck with me, but you got stuck with Bumps still.
Yeah, so it's Bumfries. I don't mind Bumps. I mean, and then again, it's just like someone just randomly, so what do you want to be called then? Well, if you don't like Bumfries, we'll just call you Bumps. And I was like, yeah, it's not too bad.
It's fair enough.
And it just stuck with Bumps. But yeah, it's definitely Bumps from a childhood, not too many Bumps. At
the
weekend.
Yeah, well, that can lead to like brain seizures when you deadlift.
Yeah, I'm passing out now. Yeah.
But anyway, let's answer some questions.
Yeah.
Like, these haven't got any names to them. These are just random questions.
Yeah, these have just come from me through the gym. And
yeah.
It's,
so there's no one to shout out because you can't remember who asked them.
Yeah, I literally can't remember. So if you've got a question in there, say, if you see me in the gym, say, oh, thanks for asking. First one, what are the biggest mistakes people make at the gym?
At the gym.
At the gym.
As in when they're first starting out, or just when they're in the gym and they're like sort of
leaving cover,
not wiping down the benches after you've sweated all over it.
Towel. Or just at Manchester Motors, we have sprays and wipes. Use them. Also, the other one before going to anything else is, especially at Manchester Muscle, and putting your hands down, putting your hands down your pants.
Why are you trying not to swear?
No, I don't know. Putting your hands on your fucking pants and then putting your dirty bollock hands all over the bars, and it's like, come on, bro, you're not gangster because you've got your hands down your pants.
No.
Take them out and be hygienic. And I actually called someone out in the gym the other day, and he was there, his hands down his pants, talking to his mates, and he just pulled his hands out, and I swear to God, I was with a client, and he was about to touch him, and I was like, bro, no, don't be doing that. What do you mean? And like I said in a previous podcast, you speak to someone at Manchester Muscle, sometimes they may even try and gin you, but only the non-regulars. So it's just the guy, what do you mean? I say, it's just unhygienic and it's filthy. So yeah. Biggest mistakes, don't put your hands down your kecks and then go and fucking touch somebody.
I think that's more specific towards Mancunian, like juvenile men. You see it a lot, kids, but when you see grown men do it, it's like serious.
Yeah, oh my god. You normally, because you grow out of like sucking on your mum's tits or sucking on a bottle, like grow out of putting your hands on your fucking pants.
Yeah, it's just a constant thing. Although sometimes though, like my boxers ride up and I have to pull them down.
Yeah, but I don't mind for getting in your duds and pulling them down. Yeah, because it happens to me too. But when you're just in there, and you can see him like he's looking like he's trying to find some change in his pocket. Yeah. Normally with his tiny testicles. Because he's been fucking jabbing gear for many years, and he's not been looking after his body, and he's got tiny bollocks, and it's like he's trying to find them.
Anyway, mistakes in the gym.
Bro lifting.
What does that even mean?
Bro lifting for me is...
You've never picked me up.
No, you've never picked me up either, so...
I have.
Well...
Throwing you into the wall.
Well, yeah. To be fair, to another one we used to do wrestling as kids, and we used to put the blue fucking tables in the living room. Bro lifting is going into the gym with your mates and lifting stupendous weights that you know you can't lift, but because you're having a little jostle with your mates, well, I can lift more than you. So that's bro lifting. I see it all the time. Am I guilty of bro lifting? Fuck yeah, I am.
Oh, you mean like ego lifting?
Ego lifting.
It's got to change the culture of it. Because everyone's like, oh, I can lift more weight than you, but then your form goes to shit. But it's like, yeah, but watch my form, bro.
Mm.
You should be like, I can lift better than you. Not I can lift more than you. Yeah. I can lift more correctly than you. I can get less injured than you, bro.
Yeah, imagine that.
Watch this.
A mistake in the gym is bro lifting. Don't go in and be fucking egotistical. If you're going to go in with your mates, push your mates to get that extra rep out, but make sure he's doing it correctly. Make sure they're doing it safely. Look after each other in the gym. Don't try and like jostle with each other, or so you've got the biggest pick by lifting stupid weights. So yeah,
maybe that's why that guy's got his hands down his pants, because he's just checking if he's bigger than his mate. As soon as his mate's bulging, it's like insecure. It's like, I'll just cover my balls with my hands in 5 minutes. But anyway, the mistakes that I see people making the most, like when they go to the gym, is just with exercise selection. Or even if they're not in the gym, just when they start exercising in general. Because most people will start off with, right, name 5 exercises you can do, like, just as a beginner. Go.
Squats.
Yeah.
Lunges.
Yeah.
Sit-ups.
Yeah. What about your upper body?
Press-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it, really. Yeah. Or jogging, running,
yeah.
So I see lots of people doing like a bench and press ups, right? So they're just working the chest and the shoulders. But like 90% of us as humans, we've got that forward shoulder thing going on. Your shoulders are starting to encroach forwards because your shoulders and your pecs are getting tighter because you're always working in front of you. You're always on a computer typing away, or you're always in a car with your arms in front of you. You're always working in front, so you're always pulling your arms slightly more forward. So when you get in the gym, the first thing people do, especially lads, is it that bench, that benching, trying to bench heavy. So you're just doubling down on, what's the word I'm looking for, on injury, really, and on bad recruitment patterns. Because what you want to do, really, is working on the pull-ups and on that rowing and getting that back activated. because you've got your overactive chest and shoulder muscles rounding your shoulders forward. You really want to be doing the pull-ups and the rows to work the back even better. Yeah. And the same with sit-ups as well, because people don't do them properly. You want to be doing crunches more than sit-ups, because when you're sitting up, apart from that first initial curl, when you're actually flexing your spine and then you're activating your abs, once you get past there, you're just using hip flexors to pull yourself up. And again, for working the abs, people doing a lot of leg raises, and doing the same thing, and you're just sort of flapping the legs up and down, barely getting the knees or the legs past the hips. So they're not even getting to the point where they're flexing the spine and working their abs, they're just working the hip flexors, which are tight and overworked from being sat down all day. So you sat in a chair all day and your hips are flexed all day, so they're in that position and they're overactive. Mm-hmm. So you want to be doing your squats and your deadlifts again, working your back. You want to be working your posterior more than you work your anterior. People think about the front more because that's what they see in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But coming from a mechanical standpoint, you want to be working your back more than your front, and running as well. Because we've got this forward shoulder and tight hips, people start going on runs and they're just running all fucked up. Not got a good gait. Now, I say it because one of my beliefs is running is not a good way to get in shape. It's a good way to stay in shape once you're in a good shape mechanically, as in the way that your whole body's working. Because once you've got a decent stride in your gait and you're running properly, then running's one of the best things you can do. But people do it while they're still all fucked up. Go from couch to 10K.
Yeah, I'm honestly one of those. I can't run our job because of so many imbalances, and I've not got the right stride. I don't even bother.
Yeah. I got them flat feet, so running's a pain in normal shoes. But I get them Vibram toe shoes, and we're like, oh, why are you wearing the mobile fingers? Because the comfort, and it makes me walk and run better. I'll give up on cool sneaks now. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of those.
I don't make a point. But yeah, those are the mistakes I see. People go on couch to 10K. I've had a look at someone have a couch to 10K app, and it's where does it show you where you should be doing the stretches to make sure you're not doing yourself more injury, just compounding. Because you see people jogging and you see them proper hunched over. There's a guy that's always on a jog when I go, I don't know whether it's when I go to class or when I go to take Taylor to martial arts, and he's running up and down this motorway. He's got his jog on and he is hunched right over. Crippled over, you can tell just his hip flexors and his shoulders, it's just the front half of his body is just curling him up back into that fetal position. And I'm just I feel like I should pull over and say, you need to stop, friend.
Yeah, definitely. So,
because it's because you listen to that Rogan with David Goggins.
Yes.
Yeah, did you hear him when he was talking about stretching his psoas out? That's basically what he was doing, that's basically what he did the first time. When he started running, he just went straight into this ultra marathon thing, and all he'd done was train himself to put up with the cardio of running. His physicality, his body wasn't ready to run, so he was just he was just tightening his psoas up so much that he was curling down. People think that it's a weak back, but it's not. Well, that's only one part of it. It's not just a weak back; it's a tight front.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely one of those. Really was since I started working on it. I very rarely worked on my back, and I would always hunch forward. So that's Paul's view of some of the biggest mistakes going into the gym. One of my other ones would be, don't get too bogged down with getting on a program straight away. Don't try and sign yourself a program. Just go into the gym and start lifting weights. Lift weights within your own means to start with. Get yourself comfortable. See a lot of people doing things in the gym that they don't look comfortable doing because they've not got the right form, and they're just following a program that maybe they found on social media where this guy's looking fucking amazing, so he's going to follow this guy's program without knowing the correct form and the correct techniques. For example, when I went into the gym at the weekend to the new gym where Zoe trains, is the amount of times I'd see people squatting, they were going onto the toes and they weren't going low enough, and then they had a bar in their hand. And honestly, this one person had a bar above the head, just a barbell, still 20 kilo, above the head, and they were squatting down, going onto the toes, leaning forward. I'm like, oh Jesus, I can't watch this.
But did he have his arms, was the bar, was his arms still vertical with
It wasn't retracted back.
It was doing a snatch.
No, it was just looked like it was overhead squatting, but it was the fact that it was just all looked wrong, and it's just like, so when you first get into a gym within your own means, you start to get comfortable in the gym environment, and then you can start looking into doing different things. And I would also suggest, because I've seen, it wasn't a question that I was asked, but it was a question that was asked on Instagram to somebody else, and it was, when should I find myself a trainer? When should I find myself a coach? Now, financially, if you've got good finances, then I would say straight away, I would say don't waste time and find yourself a good coach. Not just find yourself a coach, find yourself a good coach.
Yeah.
The sooner you can get in with a coach, the sooner you can start to learn the correct form and the correct techniques, and you will then see better results.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things you should do is look for a trainer that will just do like 3 or 4 sessions just to teach you the basics of the like main 5 compound movements and how to do them effectively and safely. And then from that, it's easier to move into other things.
Most good coaches will understand that sometimes some people just want to come for them for the form and technique, and then they won't stay with them for the longevity. They'll just pay for a few sessions to get this right form, correct form and technique, and then they'll go off and go on their own. Because not everybody's got the money for a longevity trainer. So I've had it before where I've just come in and done one session a week for 4 to 6 weeks, just going over and making them feel comfortable doing the lifts, and then they've just gone off and done their own thing, and I'm happy to do that. So, yeah, bro lifts, stay away from ego lifting. Live within your means in the gym. Find yourself a good coach. Anything else?
No, I can think of right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wavering. We need another question. No more questions about toning. Toning's bullshit.
Yeah, toning.
No more questions about what should I do as a woman, unless it involves like specifically woman questions, like your menstrual cycle. Then you shouldn't be asking 2 bros.
We know a little bit, and obviously I've done a little bit of research, but it's like training on the menstrual cycle, etc. It's not our forte, so we're not going to chat shit to you.
Because other than that, there's nothing different between the way men and women exercise.
Right, next question. I'll do this one and I'll answer it very, very quickly. What would you recommend for a quick 20 to 30 minute workout? My free HIIT workout. Spoke about on the last podcast, so I'll speak about it again. Get it off me for free. So, yeah. Let's have a little look. Also,
well, I'm
okay.
All right. Let them know where they can get that again. And while you're remembering to do that, also, on my YouTube channel, if you've got a kettlebell, I have done some Kettle Buddha quickies. Simple little workouts that should take you about 15-20 minutes to do all together. Basically, I'll show you a couple of exercises to chunk together, and then it's doing them for 3-minute rounds. So if you check that out on Your Buddha on YouTube and look for Kettle Buddha Quickies, that was back when I was Kettle Buddha, as I explained earlier. Go on, where can this HIIT workout from?
The HIIT workout you could have found on my website, which is www.biggerpitchfitness.co.uk, but currently it's down for maintenance. I'm just doing a bit of work on it. So that's why you can't get it on there. Where you can get it is if you just direct message me on my Instagram, bigger_picture_fitness, and I can send it to you for free. I'm also going to hopefully put it up in my highlights as well. I'm just trying to rearrange it all so you can view it on my highlights. So you won't have to message me. You can just pick it up there for free.
Oh, there we go.
So that will be done in the next couple of days. So yeah, for free, and it's around 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So you can squeeze that in. Another question. It's quite a good question, to be fair. What are the best foods to eat before working out? It's a good question in a way of, bit of a silly question, but most people go, oh, I've got a gym in 30 minutes, what should I eat before I go to gym?
Well, unless you're actually hungry, you find eating nothing before. Unless you're trying to get a specific adaptation. Like, if you're in sarcoplasmic hypertrophy phase, which basically means you're chasing the pump, then you might want to get some simple carbs in just before you work out, and even intra-workout, just, you know, to help fill the muscles up with all those carbs and blood. And maybe a bit of dark chocolate and beetroot help with blood flow.
Yeah. But that, like I said, if you're in something specific, if you're just going into the gym and you're starting off and you're getting confused with what should be eating before you go into the gym, if you have got a nice, healthy, balanced diet, you shouldn't necessarily have to eat something just before you go into the gym.
No.
You should have the energy throughout the day. I mean, if it's low energy that you're struggling on, when you get to the gym, like, for instance, if you're doing a 9-to-5 like we do, and then you go off to the gym and you're feeling a bit groggy, then revisit the nutrition in your diet, making sure you get it in before you go. And I mean, if you're training at that time at night anyway, you're going to feel tired. You've just done a whole day's work. A lot of people go, oh, peanut butter and rice cake. Now, I have suggested to people, if you're feeling that, have a nice peanut butter and rice cake. But that's because they love it. It's not because they need it before the gym. They necessarily feel like they have to have something to eat before you train. You don't. And I was one for this, where it was like, I can remember the fact of like when I used to work at the same place as you, and I'd be like, oh, I can't go to the gym about an hour and a half, what's the best thing to eat? And you're just like, shut up, you dick. You don't necessarily need to eat in a time to go to the gym.
No, unless you're feeling drained and you're feeling like you need some extra energy, or you know that you've not eaten enough when you're feeling drained, then you don't need to eat anything. The whole pre-workout, post-workout meal and prep is just marketing BS again to try and sell us supplements. Like, you can take a pre-workout, but it's mostly just stimulants, like legal crack. There was a guy, one time I went to the gym, right, and I'm there getting ready, and some guy just come in, and he started chatting to me, and I'm like, listening to him, I'm like, this guy just done a line or something before he's come to the gym, why is he talking so weird and fast? I don't like his business ideas, but it sounds like he's into it. But, and then I realised, and then I saw just poking out of his bag like some like extreme pre-workout, like, he's probably had about 5 scoops of that, come.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's in pre-workouts, is stimulants and something to help nitric oxide production boost, like arginine or citrulline.
So what is it beta?
Beta-alanine, yeah. Just makes your skin burn.
Yeah, there's, I don't know whether, there's one brand in general that I can think of that I've tried, and it just makes your skin red raw, but like brings the blood to your skin. And there's the beta-alanine, and it's one of the highest, like, it's got one of the highest amounts of beta-alanine in it. I'll stay away from that now.
Well, yeah, because they get more extreme pre-workouts. Because they start off with like just a little bit of coffee, and it's like, now you need like pre-workout extreme, because all your receptors are burnt out, your central nervous system's fried so much, you need to double down. So to some people, that extra beta-alanine just feels normal.
Yeah, because everyone's now trying to chase everything. It's like you just said, your body gets used to it. Your body's an adaptation machine. It will adapt, and it will get used to the amounts that they're putting in. So now the companies are making them stronger and stronger and stronger, and further down the line, it's going to get to that point where it's like, Jesus fucking, no, you can't be getting away with putting that much in my body.
And then you've got the fact that the post-workout anabolic window is bullshit.
30 minutes is talking shit. It is to sell products.
Well, because there's two reasons why. Well, because your protein, you'll stunt your protein synthesis if you eat straight after you train, even within a 20-minute window. And that 20-minute window, the reason all the science that came from that was just for people, was just shown that it replenishes glycogen stores straight after. So if you're going to do another workout later on in the day, or if you're doing your workout first thing in the morning and you've got a busy physical day ahead of you, well then, yeah, you might want to get a post-workout meal in. But in general, you want to wait at least an hour and a half, because the longer you wait, the more your protein synthesis is just creeping up. Until about the 12-hour point is when it's at its peak. So you could go like half a day without eating, and then get a good amount of, get a fat load of protein and just synthesize again, all of the muscle.
Again, I for one was led down that. I was drawn in to social media. I was drawn into supplement companies and.
Well, yeah, I did it all. I did all this like 10 years ago, and went through it all and realised it was BS and it didn't work. And it gave me the BS gave me IBS. Yeah, because I'd be having my post workout shakes, I'd be having my intra workout shakes, I'd be having my pre workout shakes, and I'd be stuffing myself. I used to live off instant noodles, and they're one of the worst. And they just sit in your stomach and they don't really digest, and they give up all sorts of BS. But one of the other things about the post-workout meal is after you've worked out, have I talked to you about leaky gut before?
Leaky gut, no.
Yeah. Well, it's basically part of IBS, where it gets more inflamed. Because you know that your intestines have got a lot ways to get the nutrients in. But when it gets in plane, these like little holes to let the nutrients in get wider, and other things get in that shouldn't, like parts of food and that. So it's basically like you've got shit through your blood. Yeah, so it just makes your intestinal wall more permeable after workout and when it's stressed and inflamed, because you get a mild inflammation response from exercising, and then it's in your gut as well. So then if you pile a protein shake into your, while that's more permeable, well then it's got to get more protein and whatever else is in your shake that's not been broken down properly into your system, that your body's going to see as foreign invader, and then you're going to get, like, and you'll have an illness response to
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Probably also for where I'm, but the window after training. I mean, for me now, when I train, as much as I go, I'm going to smash this session, it'll make me hungry. Probably, like I said, an hour and a half after, I won't be hungry. It'll be, especially when I train, a bit louder at the night, where my body's now going, like, I want something to eat. And again, I was drawn into it. You can't eat past 6 o'clock, you can't eat past 8 o'clock. If your body wants something to eat at 10:30 at night, give it something to eat. Don't give it shit though. Give it some good nutrition. I used to just give it shit. I used to live off protein bars as well. I used to live off, as much as protein bars these days are getting too tasty, I used to live off protein bars, and that definitely didn't help my stomach.
Because they're just chocolate bars with protein in them now.
Did taste so good.
But yeah, that's not supposed to taste that good. No, I don't understand.
It used to be back in the day, you used to feel like back in the day you were eating protein, it was just dead chalky and it was dead gritty, and it was like, yeah, this is protein. And now you bite into these ones these days, it's like, rah, is this the chocolate bar, is this protein?
Just jacked up with artificials, no sweeteners and stuff, making it extra tasty, but destroying your gut microbiome even more. Anyway, right, we've meandered quite a lot there, people might have wandered up. But the question was, what's the best foods to eat before you go to the gym? Well, it depends. If you're not hungry, then don't eat anything. If you feel like you need something, then get maybe some simple carbs in, especially if you're doing chasing the pump. But, you know, I like a bit of beetroot powder and dark chocolate to increase nitric oxide production. Maybe throw a little bit of citrulline in there. Yeah. If I'm having something pre-workout, that's what I'm having. I'm having some kind of shake with some creatine. Some dark chocolate, green tea as well, but green tea powder, got matcha green tea powder, because I learned about the catechins in green tea and dark chocolate that help reduce myostatin, or that helps block myostatin, which is the stuff that keeps your muscles the same. I think I've talked about this before, you know, you see them whippets that are muscular AF and then muscular cows, they're not on steads, they've got a myostatin condition where the myostatin doesn't work, so the muscles just keep growing and growing. So that's something that I've been trying to do at post-workout, like about an hour later or something. I'll have dark chocolate, green tea with my creatine in there, some protein.
Enjoy your foods. If you're hungry, have something to eat. If you're not hungry, don't have something to eat. It can grind down to being that simple. Now, we've got a few questions and we've waffled on, and we've given some good information, I think.
We'll try to at least.
One thing I do want to put out there, and what I want to talk about on maybe the next podcast or maybe the one after that, is something that's really, really means a lot to me, and it's to do with loose skin. It's something I wanted to talk about for a while. It's just how I'm going to talk about it. So,
yeah, right.
I mean,
I can talk to you about loose skin business.
Weight loss and loose skin, because it's something that's affected me very, very much, and I know it affects a lot of other people with just the mental state, depression, helps them, no matter how much weight they've lost, and they've still got this extra bit. So yeah, I want to definitely do a podcast talking about that. And so if that's something you suffer with, if that's something you've always thought about, is it just you? It's definitely not just you, because I thought about that. So tune into the next podcast, or I will let you know when it is, but it's something I definitely want to talk about.
Peace out, guys.
Peace.